was a great week this week, and you know, like I said, we're all a little bit tired, but the traveling alone will do that to you. And we're going to hear from three different people who went today, three members of your family. What better way to hear about the trip than the, you know, not from me, but those who you sit in the pews with every week and talk to every week and kind of get their story. But when we talk about this part of the Christian faith, when we talk about these things, we first talk about the evangelical piece of the Christian gospel. That's the personal piece. That's the piece where we talk to people about being saved or receiving salvation and doing those things. That's what we call the vertical part of the faith. That's evangelical. It's the personal part. It's the relationship between the person and God. And that's only half of our DNA as Christians. Okay, we have other parts to go that. That's part of our makeup. It's how we know Christ. The other half of our DNA is something that Wesley called sanctification or holiness. And that is the change or the transformation that takes place in the person once they are saved, and we don't use that word too much anymore, but once we do know Christ and we have that personal relationship, what happens is we're transformed and we go out and do things. That's the second part. That's the horizontal part of the Christian faith. Okay, so there's two parts of this. There's inward holiness, purity of heart, affects our thoughts, and then there's outward holiness, affects how we treat each other and how we change the world. There's these two different pieces, and all of those things happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose, the thing that I want you to think about today is, as you hear the folks talk, as we go through this time with the Word, which parts of those are the inward holiness, the evangelical holiness, the vertical relationship with God, and which part of those are the social holiness, the horizontal part? And if you get it, you know, it's a cross. You've got this vertical relationship. That's with you and God, all right? And then you've got this horizontal part. That's your relationship with everybody else. And you are the intersection at the middle. You are that vital piece that takes both of those things and takes them into the world and changes lives around you. Okay, that's when you go to work or you go to the post office, you go to the Giant, you know, and you're in there and you see somebody. You might know them, you might not know them, you might know them, you might not like them. But you see they're having a hard time. And you're drawn to go over to them and say, hey, I see you're having a tough time. Is there anything I can do to help? That's part of the social holiness. That's what we're called to do. We don't turn and go the other way. So these are the types of things that we're talking about here. It's the two sides of the gospel. And the reason I'm asking you to think about this today is if you sense these things and you sense you've only got one side of it, you're missing half the gospel. You've only got half of the story, okay? There's the personal side, and then there's the social side. That's God's concern for the world. And the truth is, God cares about all of this. God doesn't care just about one part of it. He cares about the whole things. He cares about people being hurt out there. You are his healing instrument for the world. So when he sees a need, he doesn't send the angel, he sends you, okay? That's why we have to be in tune with this. You're the ones who fight injustice and feed the hungry and eradicate racism and so forth, all right? He sends you, and he sends me, because we're transformed. That's what salvation is. We're transformed into something new. And you really get to see what your life looks like when you have both of these going on. You demonstrate love and compassion and so forth. And we recognize this individually. We do this individually, and we do it as a church. When we take off and go to Costa Rica or Oklahoma or Pittsburgh or wherever we go, we do this when we load up the vans full of food and go out to Pottstown. We do it individually and we do it corporately. It's more than just about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about helping the poor in the city and making sure the kids get a good education and all those things. It takes both of those things to complete your faith. Okay? It takes both of those things. And Jesus talks about this. Jesus talks about this. The easiest way to summarize this is when he answers that question, what's the greatest commandment, right? And what's the answer? What he says is, well, the greatest commandment is easy. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, which is that, the vertical or the horizontal? That's the vertical. You're loving God. That's your personal relationship. If it falls in one place, it has to be the vertical. But then he doesn't stop there. He says the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Which one is that? That's the sideways one, the horizontal one. So in that very simple statement, Jesus covers the whole piece of what it means to be a Christian, to be sanctified, to be holy, to be on that journey. And you know, in the scripture that I just read, you know, when the Son of Man finally comes, and it's that story, right? Separating the sheep from the goats, you know, and he's going to say, goats, away from me, and you know, sheep, Come on, you enter into your kingdom that's been prepared for you. You know, the Son of Man, the King, never says, now what was your relationship with me like? You know, the criteria is, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. And then the sheep say, well, when did we do that? And he said, well, anytime you did it to anyone else, you did it for me. And you can hear the goats walking away, right? The goats are walking away, you know, if he just would have had his name tag on, you know. Anytime you do it for the least of these, you do it for me. These things go hand in hand. The vertical and the horizontal in the scripture, the evangelical and the social, they're linked together like this. You can't pull them apart. So if you're on that journey, that's what it looks like. Do you have both of those pieces? That's why we do what we do. It's a beautiful picture when they come together. We're watching it happen before our eyes in this church. It's part of our DNA. We can't help it. We can't help it. It just happens. So I want you to think about those things as you hear these three members of your church family talk to you today. Now, what's going to happen is some pictures are going to be going on the screen while they're talking. Now, it's 80 or 90 pictures in a loop, and it's just going on. If you miss one, you're going to get several opportunities to see it over again. There's a couple of them that I want you to notice in there, especially the kids. The shoes that you guys raised money and bought were taken along on the trip. They were delivered to an orphanage, and some of the kids put the shoes on. So you're going to see actual pictures here of the shoes that you guys bought. The kids are wearing them, okay? Another picture, you're going to see the pastor of the church that we were working on, and he's holding a Samaritan's purse box. We do 50 or 60 boxes every year, and we send them out, and we never even think about it. While we were there, his 80 boxes were delivered. We were on the receiving end of Samaritan's purse boxes. Now, they came from Canada. They weren't the ones we picked up. Who knows where ours are? But the effect is there's 80 children in that community that descend on that church next week, all to get their Samaritan's purse box. You're going to see those pictures here. Those are just a couple of things that I want you to take note. So I'm going to invite our first speaker to come up. Dave, would you just come up and share with us a little bit? You can go right to the lectern. Okay.
Happy to stand here. As Tom said, I'm Dave Bryan. I was thrilled when Tom asked me about midweek if I'd come and share my thoughts on this past week in Costa Rica and my thoughts about missions in general, and I jumped at the opportunity to do that. This is my fourth mission trip I went on with Wayne United Methodist Church. I did two in the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. I did the original Costa Rican mission trip when we went on 7 years ago, and I was able to go once again this year. And it is always an eye-opening and thought-provoking experience for me, and I enjoy it so much. Part of the things I enjoy is being able to work with my hands, doing construction work and renovation work, and actually seeing the fruits of my labor come to fruition during the week. So that is certainly a worthwhile and satisfying experience for myself. But also, I believe we all have a calling to share of our time, our talent, and our treasure to help other people, not only in our backyard, but throughout the world. As I said, I was on the original Costa Rican trip 7 years ago, and I met the missionary down there, Will Bailey. Will started the Costa Rican Missions Project 15 years ago. This is his 15th year, but it was rather novel 7 years ago when we first joined in that project. Today, back then, they maybe got 10 or 12 groups down there every year. This year, he told us that they would have 45 missionary groups from the United States coming down to Costa Rica to help out. We got to go into a school down there. There was a church there that was built last year through the Costa Rican Mission Project. We ended up working on a school, a Sunday school, church school that they were building behind the church, consisting of three classrooms and a kitchen. They were using a kitchen that was just a temporary kitchen, a galley kitchen between the church itself and the school building, and they fed us three meals a day, fantastic food, fantastic opportunity to meet the people and get to know the people that are right there. But Will had an excellent, I always learn something from Will every time I meet him, and he had an excellent view on what missions is all about. And he breaks down the church and your responsibilities as being a Christian into 5 points. One being, we are called to worship, we are called to prayer, we are called to fellowship, we are called to service, and we are called to witness. And we did all five of those during our week-long mission trip in Costa Rica. And I'll admit that I have thoughts about it, and I know people ask me, why do you go all the way to Costa Rica? Why do you spend that money going, you know, not halfway around the world, but a quarter of the way around the world and doing God's will? Why don't you just send the money? Couldn't they just use the money and get more out of it? And Will was very good at answering that question for me in my mind this year. And he came along and said, you have to remember what Jesus' last command to his disciples was here on earth. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he finishes with, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the key to that was the and. If we bring it in terms that we maybe better understand, you will be my witnesses here in Wayne, here in the Delaware Valley, and to the ends of the earth in Costa Rica and other places. I find Costa Rica a very beautiful and lush country. It's the dry season, it's the tourist season down there, yet everything is so green and lush. And I always like getting out in nature, and we had opportunities to go to a national park down there. We did a little river cruise to look at the animals and the plant life and the flowers, and they have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of birds that just are flying around the whole time. And I know every time I get out in nature, I feel God's presence there, and I see a sense of purpose to his creation and what we can do, and it always makes me feel better. Probably the most favorite thing I can do is go out in the woods on a Saturday and spend the whole day by myself hiking through the woods and just taking my thoughts and getting them in order and seeing God all around me. In our first mission trip down to the Gulf Coast, one of the things we learned about is, where did you see Jesus today? And on our trip, I saw Jesus and the people all around us. In particular, they have a general contractor there by the name of Hugo. He was there 7 years ago, and he is one of the most patient men in the world. I mean, he can take 19 of these people that a lot of them have never picked up a screw gun before, and he has the patience to tell us exactly what he wants to do and what he wants us to do, and he was never too busy to answer our questions and tell us exactly what we had to do. And no matter if we were good or bad at it, he always gave us praise and let us know how appreciative he was of that. And then we had these volunteers from the church that came in, like I said, and cooked us three meals a day, and delicious meals. I thought I was going to be able to lose a few pounds there with the heat and the sweating and the physical labor that we were doing, but no, I gained a couple pounds on the trip. It was just phenomenal food, giving out of their love to us. And as Will mentioned, it's not about us doing service to them. They're as much doing service to us while we're there. We have to let them wash our feet while we're there. And it is an exchange of those ideas and those opportunities. And perhaps the most compelling and moving part of the whole week for me was on Wednesday night, where in the church where we were doing the work, we had a worship service. And Tom gave the message that night. And we had Juan de Leon, who was gracious enough to be our translator through the whole trip. Again, patience of a saint there. And so when Tom gave the message, Juan was there to give the message in Spanish so everybody else in the congregation could understand what Tom was saying. And to me, Tom talked about Ezekiel chapter 47, and this is the one about the river of God. And it's for some reason just stuck to me, and I've been asking myself the question that I'll end with every day while on the trip and since I've been back. But Ezekiel 47, verse 1, talks about water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And it goes on and explains that this water picks up and gets stronger as you go away, further away from the temple. At first it's only ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep. And very soon it becomes a torrential river where it's over your head. And the only way you could possibly cross it is by removing yourself and your toes from the ground and swim across and trusting in the Lord to swim across this river of God. And that river eventually enters into the Dead Sea. And the bloom of the fresh water entering this salty, dead water that's there creates this plume of fresh water where it gives life to all the creatures and the fishes and the plants all around this area. Ezekiel 47, chapter 9, talks about swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. That is a metaphor for what we do on these mission trips. We are that trickle that comes out of the temple that is creating momentum and building momentum through the lives of others, and that eventually becomes a river, and it becomes this torrent, and it is this life-giving fresh water all around us. So I would like to end asking you the question, when you are wading into the river of life, of God's river of life, how deep will you go? Thank you.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. First, I have to apologize. I'm fighting my allergies this morning. So I'm Julia Fisher. I was one of the 19 that went on the trip. And here's Marcus. He is our mascot for the trip. Marcus was actually a resident in one of the cabins with four of the women. I think they had a good week together. So we'll leave Marcus here while I chat. I have done several mission trips, including out of the country. This is my first time on the Costa Rican mission trip, and it was absolutely wonderful. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the country and the people we met, because that's as much of the mission as what the work we did. Costa Rica is an absolutely beautiful country. It's very mountainous, and we discovered that by our, 20 hours of driving up and over the mountains. We also took a boat tour, and some of us went hiking in a national park, and some of us went on the zip line, so we were able to see very up close some of the beauty of Costa Rica. And when we were going over the mountains, we hit, I think it was 12,000 feet, and then we ended up down at about 100 feet, so we kind of did a range there. Plants and flowers in Costa Rica are just incredible. The leaves are humongous, and the flowers are so bright. It is just absolutely beautiful, more than what we see here. It's just a whole different flora. Then we saw lots of animals. As Dave mentioned, we saw lots of birds, the macaws, beautiful, beautiful colors. Iguanas, we had several around us. We saw crocodiles from a distance. We had bats. I believe Tom and Cole had a bat in their room, along with one, so. I think I had a bat in my room as well, but I didn't find out until after we left, which was good, because I would not have slept that night. Some of us saw sloths, and we also had Marcus the frog, our deer. I was struck by the beauty of, God's beauty and God's diversity. It's very humbling to see that kind of beauty and know that he's done that. As was mentioned, the shoes were delivered to the children. Ashley and Chris and Abby delivered them for us, and I think they got a lot of smiles in return. And then on to our hosts. We started in the compound for the Costa Rican mission trip project in San Isidro. We spent a couple nights there, and then we went on to Sierpe, which is in the southwest of the country. Our hosts in the compound in San Isidro were Will Bailey, his wife Yolanda, and their four-year-old daughter Isabella, along with the women who made our meals. We went to church service on Sunday, and it was mostly in Spanish. Will did a little bit of translation, but he wanted us to hear most of it in Spanish, and it was lovely. It's different than what we do here, but it was absolutely lovely. Then we went on to Sierpe, and we were hosted by Pastor Yamir, his wife Mireya, and their nine-month-old Yesia, who I think you're seeing in the pictures. The construction crew, Hugo, his son Huguito, and Pedro, the cooks, Gladys, Mireya, and Anna, our driver, Danielle, amazing driver. we had translators, Scarlett, Carolina, and Fallon, and they were wonderful. During the construction, there was a lot of patience and learning. Hugo and his son, they were just wonderful. Doing that. And as mentioned, the galley kitchen, those women who were making our meals, they spent all day cooking. They made us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And when we say galley kitchen, it's like teeny tiny galley kitchen. And it was hot in there too. It was open air. So they worked just as hard as we did. For the Wednesday service, just a little bit to add on to what Dave said, so Tom's speaking in English, Juan's translating, and I've never translated, but I know it's not easy, and I know Juan was a little bit worried. But he also had, Carolina was sitting in front of him, and he got help from her when he was struggling with a few words, and I think that really helped him feel much better. So again, we were being served by them. In Costa Rica, they say, pura vida, which means enjoy life, life is good. And we really got to experience that. It was relaxing. In our devotions, we talked about the Beatitudes, and one of them, blessed are the pure in heart. And it really seems like in Costa Rica, there's a lot of pure hearts. And we were talking about the analogy of driving, especially on the Schuylkill, and how that can be hard and how you get all upset. And someone had said, the only time we ever heard a horn honking in Costa Rica was when someone was saying hello to somebody else, a driver or somebody else on the street. And it was amazing that these people are so relaxed. And the driving on the Pan American Highway, two lanes, and people go probably about 10 miles an hour when they're creeping up the hill because they have big loads, and we're just hanging out behind them. It's all good. So I felt very blessed to be able to go on this trip and to experience God's wonder and beauty and diversity. And I would say we gave as much to the Costa Ricans as they gave to us. It was a 50-50 partnership, so it was a mission trip in both directions. So that's all. Thank you.
Buenos dias. I'm Bud Fisher, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about the physical aspect of our mission trip to Sierra Bay, Costa Rica. You know, our team, 19 from the U.S., plus a Costa Rican foreman and a couple of local workers, are really your team. And your team was able to complete 9 projects there. And moreover, we brought the overall project from behind schedule to ahead of schedule. And that was a great accomplishment for all of our crew and et cetera. And we left the site in such a pristine fashion that it was absolutely ready for the next team to come in and begin the next phase. So very successful trip from the team from a physical standpoint and what we were able to accomplish. But you know, some of the most important part of that was not just how much got done, but how well it got done. And I don't mean that everything went well or perfect, et cetera, from that standpoint. I mean, there was a point at one time where people were up on ladders working on the ceiling projects, and there were so many screws falling down and it was raining screws. Things like that. There was the idea that when the electricians were working with the Costa Ricans, and the way they do electricity there is completely different than the U.S. code. So they used different color wires. And there was a point where it was like listening to a kindergarten class learn their colors in Spanish. I mean, you're hearing the Americans go, negro, blanco, verde? No. It's rojo, blanco, verde, negro, azul. No, yes, negro, no. Rojo, and this goes on for 10 minutes. I mean, it was kind of funny. And it just kind of, people just went with it and learned from it. So it was pretty amazing from that. And that's what was so cool about it, was how well the team worked together. This was not an easy project. It was very hot there. And if you could see on these pictures, you can get a sense of the kind of construction that we were doing. So we're building a kitchen and a school, but this also doubled as a shelter for floods and hurricanes. So they were building it to a very high standard. So instead of using wood and drywall like we would use, they were using concrete board and steel to make this. So there's welding going on. There's hanging of ceilings at the same time. The boards are being put up. And you're watching how the team worked. And one of the most amazing things was watching some of the women. And they're working together, and they're taking the screw guns, and they're driving screws through cement board into steel. So there's two of them leaning on this together, working together to drive these things in. And you're kind of weaving in and out through these halls around welding that's going on, around ladders and steel and saws and et cetera. And everyone just kind of flowed. It was an amazing sense of teamwork as that happened. You know, you would get off your ladder and you'd start to do something, you turn around, your ladder's gone, you know? And nobody goes, hey, you took my ladder. No, it was just work on something low till the ladder became free. And I thought about that, and I found that that was a very interesting part of the trip. And I think that was really part of how God was working through us. And in the evenings, we would talk about, in particular, we discussed the Beatitudes. And one that's kind of stuck was that, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And we kind of took that to mean to be filled with God's presence and et cetera. And Aiden and Ashley got into a kind of a debate over this, and it was kind of interesting, is whether when you're looking for that, whether you're to reach out and grab it or whether you're to wait and open yourself to be filled. And when I thought about it, I thought to me, the truth that felt right to me is both. Because what made this amazing successful is I had to take the risk and reach out and grab to go on this trip, okay? And then when I got there, it was the ability to kind of just be open and let things happen and flow with the group. And I felt that perhaps all the group worked that way, where just the openness allowed us to be both successful and to feel that. And so it was an amazing experience, and I thank you all for sending us there.
It means so much more when you hear it from those, you know, your church family who went on the trip. I just want to share one thing. For me, in getting to do this and getting to go out and do these mission trips are just something totally different than what you think they're going to be. For a period of time, you're with a group of people. Some of them I've known, you know, ever since I've been over 30 years, I've known some of these people. Some of them I met when we got on the bus. I mean, it was a brand new thing. But what happens is you are now in this circle, and everything you experience together. So headed from San Jose, the 4.5-hour ride over the mountains to San Ysidro, you know, at 8,500 feet, we're towing a trailer behind our little 22-passenger bus, which comes unhooked on the mountain from the bus. It's now being dragged along by safety chains, and we say, oh, it came unhooked. So now we're broke down along the side of the mountain. I'm broke down on the Pan American Highway in Costa Rica with all these people. I'll never have that experience with anyone else. You have these little things that just happen that bond you and you share. I never had a bat in my room fly around. Now I have that with Juan and Cole, you know? And it's just these crazy things that are unforeseen that happen. You know, and one of the things that happened that I would rather not have had happen was we didn't get much sleep, to be honest with you. There's a lot that goes on in the jungle at night, and you know, you're kind of there, so you know what's happening. So I found myself a lot of time waking up and looking over and see if Juan's awake, you know. Cole's pretty good. He could sleep through anything. But I look over there, and, you know, Juan's got his tablet on. He's reading something. I get mine on. And I'm already a member of the 3 o'clock club. I wake up and worry anyway. So that's my prayer time. So I start praying. I'm praying, and the noises aren't going away. So God's not going to take that away. So I decided to write a poem about my experience in the middle of the night in Costa Rica. And I just want to share that with you now. Now, this isn't Kipling, okay? This is more like Stewart, Jimmy Stewart, all right? And I'm going to give him the credit for this. The roosters in Sierpe are evil. Like little devils, they are mean. During the day, they peck among the chickens, so quiet, so peaceful, so serene. But these roosters have something quite special, a very revolting device. Their alarm clocks are on the wrong time zone. West Africa time, to be precise. And they use this thing as a weapon. The guests in this place, they tease. For when you stay over in Sierpe, you will not be getting much sleep. Now, I have had my share of sleepless nights. I have felt pain, and I've mourned the dead. But if you want my opinion of what's really, really bad, I'd be glad to express now what must be said. Of all the degrading and human mean things that in my life have blocked my way, the worst, most despicable ones of all are those roosters in a town called Sierpe. Friends, we have a vertical relationship with God, and we have a horizontal relationship with each other. And when we put those things together, life is incredible. If you're missing one of those things, you're only getting half the gospel. And part of this talk today is to show us what we need in our lives. I hope you heard the relationship with Jesus, and I hope you heard the relationship with each other. And there's lots of things we do here at this church, from feeding people that are 20 miles away that are hungry, or we go down to the Indian districts down in Oklahoma, and we build churches, and we go to Costa Rica, we go all over the place. There's plenty of things you can do here. Do those things. Continue to do the things that you're doing. Study the Word and get close to God. And here's my invitation. We already know that this church is going to Costa Rica the last week in March 2020. If you put that on your calendar now and you save a little bit from here to then, you can go on that trip too. It's a life-changing event. And of course, there's the Oklahoma trip and all these other things, but plan to do it and it will happen. It will change your life. I invite you to do that now.